Good morning, good morning, good morning. Come on over. Come on down. You're the next contestant? No. Good morning. Glad you're here. Glad you made it. Congratulations. I have a couple of announcements that I want to toss your direction. And then I want to get started this morning. First announcement is last night there was a women's craft thingy. It was awesome, and my wife came home excited about the cool craft things that she made, and they looked really cool. And banners, yeah, cool banner thingies. And so they were really neat, and they had a great time from what I understand. So if you missed it, ladies, then you missed out. Neener. Sorry you didn't make it. Try to make it to those. They're a really great time to connect with people. And remember also that next Sunday we are going to be, that's the 15th is next Sunday, we're going to be having a potluck after church. And we want you to bring your favorite crock pot item, kind of entree or side, and please sign up over there on a clipboard that's on the end of that bench over there, end of that table. So make sure you sign up. Don't leave here without signing up so we know what we got and who we have bringing things. Drinks and stuff will be provided. Also, we have a landscaping work party coming up on November 21st, and so make sure that you come, bring your trowels, clippers, and work clothes, and we're going to have a great time doing that. Now, we have a special phone call right now from Sierra Leone, West Africa. Dr. Paul is on the line, and so we're going to see how this works, shall we? Paul, are you there? Paul?
Yeah. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you? Is there a lag? Will there be a lag?
Okay, so Chris, I'm having a problem understanding what you're saying. So, Matt, why don't you translate?
How are you doing?
Oh, doing well. Thank God. Praise God. I could use some prayer, though. I have sinus problems.
Sinus problems. Okay.
Well, as far as prayer-wise, no, just keep praying for the trip.
How is the weather over there?
The weather has been rainy. It's coming out of rainy season, but it's been raining all month, which is unusual.
Has it been thunder and lightning, right?
Thunder and lightning, heavy rain, flooding, roads washed out.
That sounds fun. Yeah. Yeah, I heard that Ebola is finally gone. Is that right?
Oh, man, I didn't get that.
Ebola, is there still Ebola?
Oh, praise God. At 10:44 a.m. yesterday morning, Sierra Leone was declared Ebola-free.
Woohoo! That's great news.
They're going to monitor it for 90 more days, and then if there's no cases in February, they'll declare it completely free.
Great. Praise God. You know, he actually sounds clearer on the phone in Sierra Leone than when he's preaching here. Sorry, I was just making fun of you.
I don't get any of that. That's okay.
It's okay. I was making fun of you.
I wanted to call and just let you know that your prayers are really, really appreciated. And that right now I'm on a 3-week journey for I'll be traveling through the state, the nation actually, in the provinces, and I'll be back in Waterloo in about 3 weeks.
So you're
continue to pray for us.
Okay. So you're traveling out into the bush, right? For the next three...
Matt.
The next 3 weeks, you will be away from the city, correct?
Matt, what do you say?
For the next 3 weeks, you're going to be away from the city, correct?
Yes, I'm gonna be in Moyamba, Pohjan, Daru, Thailand, Kono, Pattaya.
You know those places.
And then Po.
Cool. How's your diet? How are you eating?
Matt. How am I eating? Oh, they want to feed me till my ears are full. So it's the normal African meals. I love them all. Spicy, good. A lot of rice. Praise God.
Good. All right. We'll keep praying for you. Ask him about his shoulder. How's your shoulder doing?
Yes. Next subject.
All right. We love you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate everybody. Love you. Miss you. Look forward to seeing you in January when we get back from Sierra Leone.
All right. Love you. Bye. That was great. That was fun. Thanks, Lynn, for making that happen. There you are. Thank you for making that happen. Hey, we've been going through Romans, and we have talked a lot about the sinfulness of man, the kind of the destitute situation that mankind is in, the fact that we are really dead to ourselves. We really can't. We really can't make it to heaven on our own. We need to be justified. We need to be bought by Jesus, and he has bought us, and now we're in chapter 5, and we can rejoice in the fact that we've been justified, we've been approved, we've been sealed by Jesus, and now we can enter into his glory with him. And so we've been talking the past couple of weeks about what that looks like and the fact that we can have security in our salvation and really what it looks like as you read Romans, these chapters that we're in right here, 5 through 8, really seems to me Paul is kind of defining our security in Jesus, our security in the fact that we're going to be able to be with God forever, for eternity with him, as long as we accept him as our Savior. And today we're going to be kind of diving into some things, and I want to do something a little bit different. We've done it before, one time before, but I want us to get together in small groups, and we're going to talk about some of this stuff. And so the reason for that is twofold. One, I want you to look at the scripture. I want you to kind of deduct what it is using reason and using the Holy Spirit in order to clarify what it is that God is speaking to you personally about. But also, I want us to connect together. And I'm kind of going to force us to do that a little bit, because as a church, as Way of Life Fellowship, as a young church, there are connections that are necessary for us to make. And if we are to be a church that's different, if we're going to be a church that really actually wants to do what God calls us to do, then we have to be connected, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We can't operate in the same way that big churches and churches that have huge programs and various things operate, and so we have to know each other. We have to connect with each other, and so today we're going to do that, but I want to read through this scripture, and I want to talk about a few things, and then we'll get into that small group situation. So let's pray, and then we'll do that. Jesus, I pray that my words would be your words. Lord, I pray that as we read through your word, there would be clarity. Lord, that you would provide us with great wisdom and insight, that, Lord, we would be able to understand your word better. Lord, help us to live your word well. Lord, we love you very, very much, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Therefore, in verse 1, chapter 5, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled. For when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, there's a few things that I want to bring to our attention. First of all, I want to bring to your attention, and I kind of got hung up on this week because this Greek word that is so normal and it's used so commonly throughout Scripture changes everything if you translate it one way or another. And for the most part, this word is translated in, but in this case, it's translated through. And it changes the meaning of verse 10. And so I want to read that for you again, verse 10. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved in his life? Not through his life, in his life. Let me just explain this for a second, because it sort of was a mind bender for a second, for a little while for me. There are three different unifications in Scripture. Three different times where we see these really unusual unifying situations. One is through the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit unified as one God. We can't really explain that in great detail. We can't really explain it in a satisfactory way. All we know is that God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit unified and perfect in one God. There's another time that uses a really big word, or kind of a difficult word, called the hypostatic union of Christ, which means this: God and man living in one body, unified together, fully God and fully man. How do we explain that? It's difficult, because it seems as if Jesus has to somehow let go of one in order to be the other, or somehow let go of a certain percentage of one in order to be a certain percentage of the other. But the Bible clearly states he was fully God and fully man together in one body. So we have the Trinity in unity that is hard for us to comprehend. We have Jesus as God and as man. It's difficult for us to understand. And in this section of Scripture right here, we see, and it's mentioned elsewhere throughout Scripture, that we are actually saved not with Jesus being a subject all of his own. We are actually saved in him. There's the grafting of the tree. We've been grafted. As Jesus is with the Father, now we are with him. We are in Christ. We are a new creation in Christ. Not latched onto him, somehow walking side by side with him, but we are actually in him. Almost as if we were going to get into a vehicle and be protected by that vehicle, whatever that vehicle may be. In this case, it's Jesus is the vehicle, and we are saved not by ourselves outside of Christ, but instead we are saved in Christ. He places us in him, and we are safe within him, which is an interesting kind of, you see how the difference is? We're not saved through him as if we are in some sort of, hand-holding, hey, you come with me, or that he's some sort of a doorway that we pass through. Now, he does call himself the gate, right? Which kind of gives that example, but I would think of it more as a current. That he's the gateway to a current that you're in, and he is that current taking you. We are in Christ, and he is then our vessel that we are to go through and in. Does that make sense? So there's this union between us, and probably the greatest picture in Scripture that we can look at as far as trying to understand or comprehend this idea of being in Christ is probably the idea of marriage, the idea of one flesh relationship, the idea of husband and wife coming together in one flesh relationship. No longer are they separate, but they are one entity. Okay? Now, it's difficult for us to comprehend, just as it's difficult for us to comprehend God and man dwelling in one flesh as Jesus did, and it's just as difficult for us to understand the Trinity, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit living in unity as one God. That's all very difficult for us to understand. But if we can wrap our minds around the fact that we have peace with God, right, that we talked about last time, that we are no longer at war with God. We are at peace with God because of what Jesus did. And that in order for us to receive peace of God that passes all understanding, we have to enter into him. Enter into him, into a relationship where it's unified together. Where we are no longer our own creation. We are now a new creation in Christ. And that's exciting. It should change our perspective a little bit from fear and from anxiety and from being overwhelmed to being able to take a deep breath and rest and stand in Christ. Stand in Christ. So I want you to, at this time, just take a group of people that you're around. Please try not to make it too big, because there's only a limited amount of time that we can kind of chat about this. But the section of Scripture that I want us to read and that I want us to dive into today is this section of Scripture after verse 5, going from verse 6 to verse 11. And if you could just kind of turn your chairs around, get together in some groups, and talk about those things, and see what is it that God is really speaking to you about? What is God saying to you in these verses? And just kind of talk about it, okay? Can we do that? Okay, I know it's uncomfortable, but let's do it. Just turn chairs around, say, hi, my name is, and then get going. All right. Good work. All right, let's wrap it up here, and I know you're probably just getting heated, just getting into it maybe a little bit, and maybe some of you are like, this was really easy and real quick, but I want to hear from you. What stood out in that section of Scripture? What stood out? Come on, brave soul. I'm giving you this. The difference between righteousness and good?
Yeah, like why okay. Some people may not for righteousness, but why they would be more willing for good.
Okay. A good guy maybe somebody would die for is, yeah. Who else got hung up on that? Yeah. Essentially, what's the gist of what's going on there? What is Paul saying? He's using it as an example, both of them, good and righteous. But what's the big picture thing? No one would die for a sinner, right? No one would die for somebody that's a jerk, right? No one would die for somebody that you're at war with. You're not going to stand up and say, I'm going to take friendly fire in order to protect the enemy. It's ludicrous. Right? I'm going to stand up in the middle of a war and say, guys, knock it off, everybody. They don't deserve to die, right? Nobody's going to do that. That's insane, right? And you'd probably end up losing your life and be thought of as insane. The guy went like crazy, right? Except one did that. except one did that. And we were all at battle against him. We were all at war against him. And he essentially said, listen, I'm going to become I'm the peacemaker. And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to take friendly fire from God. I'm going to take friendly fire and take all of the sins and all of the wrath of God on me for you, the undeserving jerk sinner, right? All he's saying is this. People are selfish. They could either, they're probably not going to die for a righteous person. They might die for a good person, but they're definitely not. And that's the big key point. They're definitely not going to die for someone that they're at battle with. And so even though it may seem like there's a big distinction between the righteous and the good, they're really, it's kind of him saying, most people are selfish. They may die for a good person, a nice person, their friend. They may give their life up for them, but they're certainly not going to give their life up for somebody that's their enemy. Yeah. Well, okay, as far as the sacrifices and the going through suffering and those sorts of things. Well, ultimately, what Paul is trying to derive here is the only way that we're going to experience God, the only way we're going to be at peace with God is in Jesus. That's it. And Jesus was there during from the beginning. He's there at the very creation foundations of the earth. He was there. I mean, he was right. And the only way that we can get there, the only mechanism that we can accept Jesus' free gift is to believe that he did it. Which is a really interesting thought, isn't it? To say there is no action on our part as believers. There is no action that can get us to Jesus. Except there's one action, which is believing. Which is believing an action then. Or is believing just something that we accept. It's a gift. It's this free present prize. Right? And so there's this free gift that we've been given. It's that current idea. It's essentially saying, I'm going to get into that current. I'm going to get into the flow of what Jesus is all about. I'm going to enter in through his gate, the narrow gate, and I'm going to enter in there, and I'm going to be in union with Jesus in life. One of the groups over here, we were having a discussion about this idea of through and in, and the fact that it's kind of weird that you can translate Greek words differently. And I really got onto a rabbit trail with this whole idea of the in and through and how it was translated through. And I started going through a Greek concordance and started finding all the places where it was translated through and started replacing in. And there was pieces like where Jesus is standing and he's saying, you've been baptized in water, you've been baptized through water, but soon I will baptize you through the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that word is translated by. The King James oftentimes translated in as by. And so they would say, I'm going to baptize you. You've been baptized by water. I'm now going to baptize you by the Holy Spirit. When in reality, you could easily put in there, I baptize you in water, and I will be baptizing you in the Holy Spirit. It's much less, you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Instead, you're going to be in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be in you. There's this unity that happens that sort of transforms some of our thinking. Because oftentimes we think of ourselves as vessels that carry the Holy Spirit in us, which is accurate, but we forget the part where we are actually inside of a vessel of Jesus, where we are actually being carried by him. And so there's this great unity and this great peace that can overwhelm us when we realize the fact that we're in his arms. We're in his presence. We're in his grace. We are the vessel and the vehicle that he uses in order to spread his word and his ministry. But we are in him. So there's a word that I was explaining to them that is translated interesting because the word doxo means opinion originally in Greek. It meant opinion. And doxo for us today is translated glory. We will be with him in glory. How did doxo go from opinion to glory? Well, it went from, see, if you think of like orthodox is the right opinion is what that means. And so that's orthodox means the right opinion. So Jesus, God, became the king with the right opinion. The king with the highest authority of his opinion is the only one that matters. We are to receive his glory, his opinion, his glory for us is to receive what he thinks of us, which is the highest of all opinions. It's the only one that matters. And so, but you look at that word in the Greek and you're wondering, how in the world did we get from opinion to glory? And it's semantics. It's how language translates over years and time. And so it's difficult for us to understand it when we just look at it without studying it really deeply. What else did you get from this section, this little piece? Did you connect with some people around you? Get to know them a little bit better, maybe? A little bit? Good. Good. Yeah. That's a really great question, right? I mean, we are. The question is, do you think that God viewed people, humanity, as his children? Those people even who aren't saved, are they his children? And the answer to that, in my opinion, is yes. I mean, he views us as potential children, because some people can choose not to, but all of us he loves. He died for all the world, right? He did so that all of us may be saved. The word is used all a lot, and there's a lot of different theologians that would argue that some are not destined to be saved and some were not his chosen children. And obviously through Israel was the chosen nation that he used and called his children, his bride oftentimes. I think he views the church more of as a wife than as a child. He uses the term bride, the bride of Christ, which then can change our perspective. Obviously, we call him Father God. We are brothers and sisters with Christ. We are co-heirs with him. So we are on equal plane with Jesus. In the human sense, but we're. Right. Right. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah, so her analogy is if we look at humanity as children and we are bad children, and that he has one good child in Jesus, and that one good child comes and rescues all the other children, that would be the mindset that's easier to wrap our minds around. But there's a supernatural experience that happens that makes that analogy a little bit simplistic, in the fact that we are not just he's not going and getting us and pulling us in. It says, how I longed to pull you near my breast and put you under my wings, the protection of my wings. It's this idea that I long to have you close to me. I long to have you near me. I want all people to come and to love me as God, and I want to comfort you, and I want you to experience intimacy with me, but there's really only one way that you're going to be able to experience that, and that is through the death and destruction of that good child, the death and destruction of himself, God saying, I'm going to destroy this sin on my and take it on myself. I'm going to, not that he lost who he was in any stretch of the imagination. He retained his godliness. He retained his Godhead. But he took the sins of the world and destroyed them and conquered that so that then we could not just be brought in as a hen gathers its chicks, but so that we can be brought in as a vehicle, like load up on the Jesus bus, you know. Everybody get into the Jesus bus. You're all going to be protected and let Jesus then, the vehicle, do the work. Let Jesus do all of the work of taking care of the sins. Don't worry about that anymore. Yet we're always pulling the emergency lever, saying, stop, 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 wait, I left my sin off the bus. I need to go get it. And you go get it, and you try to pull it in, but it's not coming in, the door's closed, and you're holding on to it, and it's going down the, you know, I mean, it's a change of analogy, but you're like still holding on to it, and we do that all the time, don't we? We're like still trying to carry the sin onto the bus, but it doesn't happen. So, is that, are you following me there? So the analogy that you're given is maybe a little bit, it works to a degree, but realistically there's a much more supernatural approach to it that happens. Yeah. Any other thoughts, comments? I feel like you have one, but you're not saying. No? You know you got another? All right. Josh? Sure. Right. Yeah. So if you change the word, her thought is, if you change the word from death, some people you may be willing to, you know, you're not going to die for a righteous person. You may die for a good person. But you're certainly not going to die for a sinner. You're not going to die for an evil person. You're not going to die for your enemy. She essentially is saying, you know, what struck her was if you translate that death to forgive. Some people may forgive a good person. It may be easier to forgive a good person, but somebody that's done wrong to you, that's evil, that you view as being a sinner of the worst degree, whatever, you may have a hard time forgiving them. However, Jesus died for us even though we were absolutely opposed to him. And so there's this calling on us as believers to forgive even those that have done the worst damage to us. Because if we want to be like Christ. And the thing that makes it easier for me to think of it like that, because I was thinking that sort of the same thing this last week, is if I'm actually in Jesus, if I have security in my faith with him and in my trust that he is the vessel that I'm going through this life in, then it's easier for me to forgive somebody because it's not an offense to me personally. It's an offense to him, right? It's easier for me to think of it in that term. Well, you're sinning and you're offending, and maybe I could try to take that personally, but it's really none of my business to take it personally. Because it's really against him. And you can see that in Jesus when he's saying, hey, you know what? I was hungry and you fed me, you know? I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, you know? I needed clothes and you clothed me. He's saying, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. It's the same whatever you do for anybody. Whatever you do for anybody, whether they're the least of these or whether or not they're your enemy. If you treat them poorly, and you don't forgive them, you're essentially disregarding the vehicle that your life is being held in. You have a thought? No? Okay. Right. I hear you. So it's a difficult thing, you know, it's a difficult concept to wrap our minds around, because for so long I've been thinking of life as I'm this vehicle, I'm this vessel, and I have this freedom, I have this choice, I have this demeanor about me, and I can choose to do good, and I can choose to do bad, and I can choose any way that I want to go, and I have the Holy Spirit within me, and I can shut the Holy Spirit up in me, I can do things that are contrary to what the Holy Spirit has called me to do, but regardless of how often I shut the Holy Spirit out, regardless of how often I disregard the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it does not change the fact that I'm still within Him, that I'm still inside of who Jesus is, that the Holy Spirit has me surrounded, encompassed, that I'm going in a direction that that is out of my control, that Jesus has already set in motion to say, you will be with me in glory. Regardless of what, how often I try to shut the Holy Spirit up, and regardless of how I don't depend on Him, or how I forget that I'm even in this vehicle, I'm still going to be found in glory standing before Him one day. And then He's going to judge me based upon the things that I do and the things that I don't do. And that's going to be a day that's like kind of could either freak you out or make you really excited, right? And so, yeah, last little comment. Right, and that he talks about that a little bit from verse 12 through 16, 15 and 16, talks about the law and talks about sin and how sin entered the world through one man, so sin was destroyed by one man through Jesus. And so that's an exciting thing, and we'll get to that next week. But thank you for participating in this. I know that it can be a little bit uncomfortable. Time goes by really quickly when we sit around and we talk about God together. This is why I think the early church met for so long, because I think it was much more like this, conversational, than it was one guy up front preaching to you. So from time to time, I'm going to do this sort of a thing just to throw us off a little bit and cause us to have some discussion, interact with each other. And my encouragement to you would be connect with each other. Go to lunch with each other. Do something in life together. And I'm going to talk next week. Come next week, because we're going to be talking about Way of Life Fellowship, where we've been, where we are, where we're going. Kind of, we're going to talk about some of the goals and directions that we have. But ultimately, and you've probably come to realize, we're not a programmatic church. This isn't a fellowship that is designed to have a whole bunch of programs in order to entertain or in order to meet certain programmatic needs that most churches experience. This is a church that is about church. It's about fellowship. It's about doing life together. It's about growing old together. It's about being young together. It's about doing life together and seeing what it is that God wants us to do. And that's a difficult thing for us to do in this day and age, to exist as a church like that. So that it's culturally the norm. So I'm glad that you're here, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. But let's pray, and then we'll dismiss you, and you guys can go. Make sure, the most important meeting that we have as a fellowship is tonight. It's our prayer meeting together. So make sure that you mark down some way that we can pray for you. I pray for each one of you by name during the week, and so make sure that you do that. Yeah. Potluck next Sunday. Sign up. Make sure that you stay. Yeah, we're going to fellowship afterwards. It's a really important time for us to connect. So don't beg out of here real quick because you're an introvert. Yeah. Sunday school class, I'm in discussion with a couple of different people to start different Sunday school classes, and so it's still just kind of in discussion phases. Dr. Paul will be back in January, and so he's planning on starting one. We'd like to start one before that, and go through a couple of different things. And so we'll keep you posted on it. But we have a couple of options that are out there right now. So yeah. Okay, so make sure you fill out your prayer request, because I know that since you're in a different position right now than you normally are, it's easy for you to not fill out that little prayer request form and to forget about it and to not drop it in. And then I'm praying for like 4 people tonight as opposed to 12 to 15. So I'd really like to know how to pray for you tonight, so make sure you fill out that prayer sheet, and you can drop in the back. Also, make sure that you give. You can give back in the back, or you can give online. Let's close. Jesus, thank you so much for dying for us, for saving us. Lord, through your work on the cross, you died and saved us from an eternal separation of God, from Jesus. And Father, I thank you for setting us free from that bondage to sin, for captivating our hearts and collecting us, Lord, and taking us with you to glory, Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us to honor you and to love you. Help us to rest in you. Father, help us to not pick up our burdens that we've laid at your feet already in the past. Lord, we just pray that you would give us freedom. Give us peace. Help us to understand that we are no longer at war with you, Lord, but that you are at war on our behalf. Lord, we love you very, very much. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. So if you need some prayer cards, they're there. If you are in need of prayer, feel free to stick around and pray with, you can come find me or JJ or Sharon in the back. And so don't leave here today if you need prayer. Love you. Have a great week.